and welcome to Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, Suzanne Maresca, and myself, Graham Duyé. It's great to be with you. The Buddha is our guest today, who returns to discuss the quality of wisdom, and we welcome your questions and comments. Give us a call at 323-784-9697, 323-784-9697, and press 1 so Suzanne knows to bring you on the show. Well, good morning, Linda and Suzanne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Graham.
Here we are again, guys.
Here we are again. Seems like just a blip ago we were doing this last week, and it's great to be with you all. And part of, I think, what we do here is share our personal process and personal journey, because we are all in it together, the three of us, everyone who's listening, the heavenly realm, the Council of Love. And yesterday was a whopper day for me, and it was really challenging. This morning I woke up and I was telling Suzanne, oh, that's right, it was April Fool's. it put it all in perspective for me. And I mean, it doesn't dilute what I was experiencing, which felt like some real challenge, which felt like a real struggle. And it felt like a lot of things were coming to the forefront right in front of me. And it felt really challenging and really hard. And there was emotion, and there was upset. And it was also a really interesting experience and exercise for me, because through it, I've been putting these divine qualities to the test. That we've been talking about all kinds of things: staying present, staying in the moment, staying aware, staying out of fear, staying in joy, staying in center, and not allowing the old third, old belief systems, old habits, old default settings or old wiring take over. And so I found myself standing back and observing. And yes, it was confusing, and yes, it was challenging. It was hard to get my head around things. But I also didn't go into a huge tailspin or downward spiral that I've experienced myself go into in the past with lesser challenges. And so I in a way, welcome the experiences, because it tells me and shows me that it's working. This stuff really works. So it's about how do you stay in the peace and the calm when everything feels like it's in the moment, feels like it's falling apart, it feels like there's chaos. And who isn't experiencing change and challenge at this time? Maybe it's not today. Maybe it will be tomorrow. Maybe it's not this moment, but maybe it was 2 moments ago. And so I felt inspired. I wasn't planning on this, Linda and Suzanne, but as the music was coming up, and as we've been sharing, it felt like it was an important share to offer. And this is our authentic selves. This is our experience with you, every one of you who are listening with us. And so this is a journey we're taking together today, and it seems so key in tandem to what I was just sharing. Today we talk about wisdom, and it's a key quality, certainly, for these times. So, Linda, Suzanne, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, you go, Linda.
Well, I think you've just described wisdom, Graham. And it's not that stuff or emotions or challenges don't come up, but it's the ability to be in that place of heart wisdom, and to be able to stand back, even in the middle of all the turmoil, and say, but there is a divine plan, and there is unfoldment, and I'm just experiencing something that probably is related to the elimination of the old, and the elimination of the old third dimension and reality. And so if I just hang on, because I think sometimes wisdom is just the ability to hang on and not go into all the melodrama. and just to be that, you know, that wise old Buddha, actually.
Right.
I was shocked, pleasantly surprised, let me put it that way, when the Buddha indicated to us that he was going to be the one to come back and speak about wisdom, because I'll tell you, in, you know, all these years of channeling, the Buddha doesn't speak that often. So that's also an indicator to us about how important this quality is. We live in an age where we are just constantly, constantly bombarded by not just energy, but by information of all sorts. And we also live in a society where we are information junkies, I think. Yeah, I think we are. And so often that information that comes at us isn't truth, and certainly isn't wisdom, but somehow we let it in. And it, you know, and when I say let it in, I don't just mean into our minds, but into our fields, into our hearts, into our sacred space. And it really affects us. And it particularly, and this is getting back to what you've been sharing and talking about, Graham, I think it particularly affects us when that energy comes from those closest to us.
Oh, yeah.
When we really, when it's people that we care about and we love. You know, it's a terrible thing if you turn on the TV or somebody tells you, or you open up your internet and you hear about some kind of craziness or atrocity again, and it affects us one way. But when it's up close and personal and it's in our heart center, that really, it takes a lot to just stand in that place of being the observer and knowing there's a rightness to the plan. So hats off to you, brother.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we're all on this journey, and I think about the importance of detachment and to be in equanimity and to not get caught up in the drama, as you spoke to, Linda, and holding the higher perspective. What's the higher purpose here? What can be learned? What growth opportunity is there? And that can be so challenging when you're in it. You just spoke to that, Linda. And I know a lot of us, we're going through our own growth, and we're going through our own what feels like struggles and challenge, and it's not easy. This isn't easy, but it's worth it. So in those moments where you feel like, I just can't do this anymore, keep on, right? We talked about fortitude several weeks ago, and boy, I felt that was put to the test yesterday.
Yeah, I hear what you guys are saying. So, Linda, you just spoke to something about, you know, being able to let go of the, you know, the drama and just be at peace with it. And I think it all speaks to inner peace for my own self. The wisdom seems to be coming in of just being able to let go of everything and realize that there's a lot that I don't know and there's a lot I can't know. And I'm just relaxing into knowing that everything is going to be okay. I don't need to know details. Yesterday I was driving in my car. I seem to have the best and most profound insights while I'm driving. But I was driving on a part of the road, and then it just seemed like, okay, so my mind or my heart or my imagination just took this out, and it looked like I could just fly off the planet, just like right off the road, just go up into the sky and leave the earth. And then my thought process was around, I'm not ready to leave the earth yet, you know. As much as I would love to take a ride on a light ship and travel the galaxies, I love this place, and this is where I belong right now, and this is a process, and I know I'll be taken care of, so there really is nothing to worry about. And that's where I am at today. Tomorrow could be another story, and I could be, you know, I could be subject to, you know, different worries. Like, you know, Graham mentioned that when something comes up in your face, or Linda, when you said that it's someone that's close to you, those things definitely have the potential to pull us down. And then the stillness and meditation every day just keeps me at a peaceful place, that pretty much no matter what happens. And I think that's the key thing for us right now, that no matter what happens around us, because a lot of stuff is going to start to go crazy, we just know it's all going to be fine. Just take a deep breath. No matter what happens around you, it's going to be completely fine.
Yeah. And you know how...
And you know the other thing is that we sometimes forget is that we are straddling dimensions. You know, so much of our attention in 2012 and the years before was focused on going to the fifth. And here we are, April 2nd, 2013, and we are straddling not only what we call, or the council calls, the old third, which is the false grids, the false beliefs, the old paradigms that humanity created, but also the cleaned up third, which is, you know, the bright, sparkling, clean physical experience of Gaia, the fourth, the fifth, sixth, seventh. So we are multidimensional beings, but sometimes when we're doing that straddle, and now last night, in the middle of the night, as I was sharing with Graham and Susie, is I felt like one of those cartoon characters where, you know, you have a foot on one boat and a foot on the dock and the boat starts going out and your legs are getting further and further and further apart. And you know full well you're going to go into the drink. And you can either go into drama, like I'm going to fall into the water, or you can really see the hilarity of it, the humor of it. But it can be hard when you're in the middle of it. So you just have to be very gentle with yourself.
Oh, such great sharing here this morning. Thank you, ladies. I want to just play a little bit more with April Fools. So you know how when you're exposed to a joke, or you're exposed to a story, and there's the initial reaction, right? Especially if the joke causes some, what is it, discomfort or alarm, momentary discomfort or alarm, right? And then you might scream, you might be full of surprise, there might be, you know, adrenaline, there might be some stress, depending on how cruel the perpetrator is. then after a few moments, after a period of time, you most likely get some perspective. And in tandem and in concert with what you're saying, Linda, you can sit back and maybe you can see the humor in it. Maybe at the very least you can get that perspective. And so I think there's no coincidence that yesterday was April Fool's, and I was experiencing what I was experiencing, and today I feel like I have more perspective on it. And I'm entertaining a higher reason for all of this. It doesn't mean that the issues go away necessarily, but my vibrational attachment or connection to it and how I choose to be, back to what you were saying, Suzanne, and Linda, I can choose to be in a state of drama and angst and excitement about it, or I can choose to be in a state of peace and calm and release worry and fear and doubt and hold on to trust and faith. And it's a real test. It's not easy, but I think there's some really great wisdom that's being shared here this morning. So thank you all for this discussion. Well, what do you say, Linda? Shall we kick it off with a meditation?
I think that's a great idea. Before I do, I want to tell you that so often Archangel Gabriel speaks of the hilarity of the human experience. And when she does that, she's got a very dry, wry sense of humor. And when she talks that way, she is talking exactly what you're talking about, Graham, which is sort of the kick in the pants. And we're supposed to laugh. And it's not funny at all. So the higher realm understands what we're going through. And so as we turn to them together today and ask for that deeper infusion of wisdom, just try and keep that smile in your stomach and in your heart. So let's begin. The color of wisdom is that really dark color of claret. So relax and take a nice deep breath of that deep port color, of a deep red wine, almost a plum. And breathe it in. Open your crown. Open your crown and let the sun shine in. And then tinge it with claret. The archangel that brings us this particular ray is Archangel Yophael. And Yophael is one of the few archangels who has ever incarnated. So he knows what it is to be human, and he knows what it is to be an archangel. And he knows what it is to walk as a human, knowing that there is a divine plan. And as Susie said, we may not always understand it. We may not grasp all the detail or all the elements. But there is a rightness to it. So breathe in the claret deep in through your nose, holding it for a second, and a really deep exhale today. And let's let go together of grief, of sadness, of sorrow. We're not talking mild disappointment. We're talking that dead rock of hurt and pain, of what we've experienced in this life and bleed through from other lives, other dimensions, other realities. So do it with me again. Breathe in that deep wine color, that reddy blue color, in through your nose, filling your lungs, because lungs are where we store grief and sorrow. Hold it. Feel yourself move out of your lungs and into your heart, into the seat of your soul, the right-hand side at the bottom of your heart. And simply feel peace and connection and love, because the divine plan is the plan of love, And for us, you and I, all of us holding hands all over the world, it's that restoration of love in all aspects of our life, in our actions, in our behaviors, and in our experiences on this incredible planet, Gaia. So sink further into your chair. And just allow yourself to be. When I experience Archangel Yofael, I always feel his wings, which are massive, across my back. His presence as if he's standing directly behind me, protecting me. So take a minute and feel these wonderful amethyst, claret, indigo, magenta wings right behind you. And just ask. Ask for Yofael to just stay there and to help you and to help all of us during this time of transition, during this time of restoration. And breathe. Greetings, I am the Buddha.
Welcome.
I am the Wayfarer.
Welcome back.
And welcome to you. For I am pleased that you come to sit with me again beneath the Bodhi tree, that we may gaze across the universe, the multiverse, the omniverse, and at each pebble and grain of sand, at each ant as it moves in harmony with the universe and the unfoldment of its plan, that we together may explore and come to understand, anchor and integrate wisdom. And yes, it is so, for compassion and wisdom are very important to your existence in any dimension or reality, any universe. As you have seen, as this council of love has woven this tapestry of the blessings and virtues, the divine qualities, they are completely connected. And so you do not have one without the other. So I am pleased that I have had this sandwich of compassion and wisdom with truth as the beautiful jam and jelly, the substance. Because this is the way that you come to understand. There is literally a place for everything. Now, does that mean, my beloved brothers and sisters, that everything is in its place? No. And of course, there are moments when this frustrates you, does it not? But does it mean that in the grander unfoldment, in the plan of the Divine Mother and the source of all being in life, that things are in the process of being put where they belong? Well, yes and no. Because where something belongs in what you construct as time and space, is not static. So where something belongs in this moment that we share today does not necessarily mean that it is there forever. In fact, it is a very wise process to move things around because it keeps the energy not only moving and in circulation, it keeps it fresh and it allows for infinite creation and creativity within you. Before we begin, and you laugh and you say, but Grandfather, you have already begun. And I say, oh no, my son, my daughter. We have just come to the starting place. I wish to speak to you of respect. This is a word that is almost forgotten and is being quite literally resurrected on Gaia, on this beautiful Terra Nova. Now, this word of respect is bandied about, and it is misused most often because you use it to infer as if you are honoring and giving someone their due. But too often, my friends, the word does not match the energy, the intention, the action, or the behavior. So I start with you this day by speaking of this respect. And I would like to use an interchangeable term for you to gather what I am referring to. I wish you to think or comprehend respect as reverence. And it is that fervent regard within all of your being, anchored within your heart and your heart consciousness. It is that reverence for life. And when I use the word life, I mean all existence. From the ant to the beetle to the elephant to your star brothers and sisters. And to your sacred self, do you hold yourself and the reverence that we hold you in? Do you hold yourself with the deepest regard that is possible? Or are you dismissive of who you are? Wisdom is the knowing of the divine plan and of the unfoldment of that plan and the rightness of unfoldment. But you cannot even commence to have this sense of wisdom if you do not have this reverence and regard for your sacred being. For the truth of who you are. Now, what I observe is that you only glance at yourself, and that is why I ask you to sit with me. No, it is not navel gazing. It is for a few minutes of your lifetime for you to gaze and to truly comprehend the wonder of who you are without limitation and within the grander unfoldment of your eternal self and your expression of that infinite eternal self in your now. If we talk of nothing else this day, if I cannot give you anything else except this grain of sand to carry away, it would be sufficient, and it would make my heart sing. When you are in the wisdom of this complete knowing that not only everything in your universe, let alone your planet, is a reflection of one, and that you are an integral part of that, in and out of form, eternally. That wisdom alone will sustain you. You live in a society, particularly those of you to whom I speak, who occupy what you think of as the Western world. You occupy a place where you think or believe that you have a right to know. And this is supported by your media and by various methods of investigation. You are a curious bunch. And again, that is why sitting in the stillness with me is so important. Because if you truly wish to know, it is not found externally. It may be reflected and confirmed and celebrated externally, reflected through 1,000 mirrors externally. But that wisdom and true knowing is only found within you. Yes, regardless of what I say, I like to fill you with wisdom. But what am I really doing? I am reawakening and I am speaking to that wisdom of your heart, of your mind, of your body, of your being. One of your greatest embarrassments in your society is to say, well, gee, I don't know. Understand, such an admission is not only an expression of truth and humility. It is the wisdom that you do not know the entirety of all, that you have chosen in a brief period of time called your life to place yourself in a position where all the information, as you think of it, is not available. And many of you believe that as you have transcended and anchored in the higher realms, the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension, that the fullness of knowing is yours. It is expanded remarkably. But is it infinite? No. There is always, until you return home to the One, there is always further to go. And understanding that is the core of wisdom. Wisdom is kind. It is that expression of deep regard. It is that expression of compassion. Too often, the wisdom of the innocence of the small children, and yes, many of your star children, is dismissed and overlooked. And the wisdom of the elders, the true elders, is also dismissed or hidden. That cannot be. Why, you say? Why, grandfather, can this not be? Because your heart and your very soul, your essence, thirsts for this wisdom of the elders. It searches for the understanding, not the logical explanation, but the core understanding that sits in your very root, that you say, oh, all right, It has been a long road, and the elder has traveled it, and in sharing this wisdom, I understand. Do not be too busy, my friend, to stop and listen and integrate both inside and out to the wisdom of the ages, of the sages, of the mother. I have so little to offer you. And yet I wish to truly give you everything I have. But I do not ask you to carry it, because it is not a heavy burden, what I offer. So take this grain of sand and know within it is your wisdom and the wisdom of all ages, all time, and of all. I welcome your conversation.
It's so great to have you back. I really respect, well, I really appreciate how you spoke of respect and used the word reverence. Respect for all, how we're all one, a real reverence for life. We have been experiencing a paradigm of separateness, of disconnect, yet we are all one. We all come from the same divine spark. And the word, the term reverence for all, for everything, for everyone, really sets a greater intention around it, if you will. So I appreciate you speaking to that. I also wanted to, as you talked about wisdom, I wanted to hear your perspective on the connection between being in a high vibrational state, being in bliss, and accessing truth and wisdom. What would you care to say around that?
Well, it is like climbing a ladder, or perhaps crossing a bridge across the canyons. And it is a very rickety rope bridge. And so there are many who are not trusting or fearful of going across this bridge. You have seen such things in photographs of India or China or Tibet. So as you cross the bridge, and in this way I say, the interdimensional bridge, the expansion bridge, you gain deeper wisdom. Now it is circular, you know. You are looking for cause and effect, and that is not how it works. Yes, I know yesterday that you have spoken with the scientists, but I am the wayfarer. I am the philosopher. So I do not speak so much of science as the circle of all existence. And what you will find, if you examine this further, is that theorems and formulas and what I say to you are the same. But I digress. As you move in the anchoring and integration of wisdom and use these terms interchangeably, you gain more bliss. You gain more joy. You are more joy. You are more truth. Of course you are of a higher vibration. But do not think of this as an ego state. Because let me be very clear, the ant and the beetle have as much access to those higher vibrational states as you do. So you cannot come from this in a place of ego at all. So as you are moving into a high dimensional state, into the truth of who you are, and that is why I said, if there is nothing that I offer you this day except the understanding of who you are, then I have accomplished a great deal, have I not? So as you move, of course you are blissful. Of course you are in the wisdom. It is not a quality like I am wise. Wisdom is bedrock. All of these qualities are. And so you build upon it. Now, you say, well, sometimes I feel that I am there. And grandfather, sometimes I feel that I am still back at the edge of the canyon. Can I ask you this? When you are crossing this bridge, I want you to know, not think, but know, that each step is the entire journey. And do not look back. Do not look up. Do not look down. Be in the moment and keep your eyes, your heart, your focus on what lies ahead, and place your feet step by step with confidence and knowing. And even if the bridge should completely collapse, it does not matter. Because you have completed the journey. So is there a relationship? Yes. But it is a circular reinforcement. And does it build? Yes. It builds infinitely. So now you say to me, Grandfather, what if I do look back? What if I do become afraid? What if I look back and I see those issues and people and situations that haunt me, that plague me, that make me feel less than my wholeness? And what if I see that they are trying to disconnect the bridge, or that they are jumping on the end, and that my travel is very jerky and dangerous? What should I do? You keep going. You do not turn around. And in some way, engage or chastise or ask those who are behaving foolishly to stop. You show them the way of the steady feet, of the confidence that you have in yourself and in the safety of your being. And of course, ask me, please, to steady the bridge. Ask Yofael to guide your way. And if necessary, to lift you up, to put you back down where the footing is secure. Wisdom is a walk of valor. And my friends, at times you will feel that it is a lonely walk. And that is why I offer you my company. So that you know that you are not alone. There are many who have crossed this bridge, but you do it individually, one by one by one. Now, what you can see and know that on both sides of the canyon, there are humans and star beings and sheep and goats and angels cheering you on, creating a force field that assists you in that journey. But wisdom is not only the brother of truth, it is the brother of trust. Because you do not arrive at the wisdom and the knowing unless you trust yourself enough to take those steps. Do you understand what I say?
Yes. Yes, thank you. You mentioned that an ant and a beetle have access to the divine qualities. Do they experience joy and wisdom?
In their own way, yes, of course they do.
How's that?
You say, how is that?
Yes.
How can it not be? You see, this is also part of the grid of separation. That is the old way of the ancient third dimension that you tend to think of existence as a hierarchy, and that one must be human or higher to experience these wondrous qualities. What I am asking you to consider, the ant as they go about their business, seeking food, being in community, not seeking community, born into, acknowledging, accepting, and being in joy of community. They do not have the range of illusions that are part of what you are letting go of. And that is particularly true as the planet has already ascended and continues to ascend. So they feel the heartbeat of the Mother Earth and the connection to that joy, that sense of completion and wonder. You are saying, does the ant have the experience of consciousness that we do? No, of course not. It is a different experience, but it is no less real, and it has equal reverence within the scheme of enlightenment. That is always why we say, do not kill anything.
In Tibet, at least in Tibet, I'm thinking of a documentary I watched where monks would seek and carry off worms prior to construction commencing on a site. And much time, much focus, much reverence is dedicated to that practice.
Yes.
I'd like to bring Suzanne on. Suzanne, you have a question. Welcome.
Yes, hi, thank you. Greetings, Grandfather. Thank you for being with us today. Okay. Keeping in mind all the help that's coming from the Company of Heaven and our star family, and in vast appreciation of that, my question is this. For individuals who are still immersed in the illusion, especially ones who've been terribly wounded and believe themselves to be intrinsically bad and undeserving, to what extent can we help to clear them enough with our collective work? Will that open them enough to their own divine nature so that they can then take up the task themselves?
The brief answer is yes, but let me explain.
Thank you.
Oh, it is my honor, dear one. All of you have had an experience in your life where someone has truly not just been of the opinion or believed, but who has truly seen you for who you are. It may have been a momentary spark or a deep abiding relationship. But you have been presented, even if it is through the eyes of your dog or cat, you have been presented with that moment where the external reflected to you the beauty, the truth, and the wisdom of who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And it has moved you. Now, some of you have shed that experience, shelved it, put it away, and have chosen. Yes, chosen. I do not say this in a way of ridicule, because I know of the harm and injury, the devastation that has taken place amongst the human race. But still you choose to cling to the injury as your definition.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you have forgotten. Because you choose to forget that moment or that experience of clarity, you choose to say, I am not worthy. I am not loved. I am not God. I am not Source. I am simply a lost vagabond. Well, dear heart, I am a vagabond. I am the wayfarer. But I do not forget. So, when you repeatedly and consistently reflect to those who are in that place of illusion and pain, they do not know or fully understand always that this is what they are choosing. Of course not. So you reflect to them again and again and again, and still the truth of who they are, the wisdom of the plan, which can include within their unfoldment the injuries they have sustained. They will see the light. It is a tipping point. It is entrainment. It is the way of the world. It is the way of the galaxies. It is the way the planets spin in harmony. So eventually what takes place, and when I say eventually, do not think that I am telling you that this awakening takes decades. It does not. It happens in the instant that the individual decides and chooses and accepts that they are worthy and they are loved. That is wisdom. Wisdom and love are inseparable. So what you are saying to me is, Grandfather, can we make it? And I am saying to you, you are most of the way across the bridge. Keep going.
Thank you for that. Is it necessary? It's probably more helpful. I'm just wondering about the in-person as opposed to the remote. Like I treat people at, it feels to me like I see people at their highest and best, okay, whether they've reached that themselves in their life or not, and that's being in person. Is the remote work just as powerful as the in-person work?
Oh, yes, it is. And I will tell you, because this is a wonderful diversity of human. Now, there are times with remote where you have clear sailing because you are not dealing with the ego or personality. So you get to go directly to the heart of the matter.
Right.
And then there are times when the resistance of the ego or the monkey mind says no, 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 no. So the person needs the in-person human contact, the experience of love and that deep reverence and regard to begin to believe that that is the truth and the core of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not an either or, it is a both.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you, Grandfather.
You are welcome, child.
We encourage anyone listening by phone right now, press 1 if you have a comment or a question you'd like to pose. And if you're listening on the internet, give us a call at 323-784-9697. And you can see that number on the show page. And when you come in, just press 1 so Suzanne knows that you'd like to join in on the conversation. What can you say, perhaps you can help us understand the difference between thinking, believing, and knowing.
Thinking is mental. Believing is emotional. Knowing is heart consciousness. Now, I am not suggesting to you or any of my friends that you do not want and that it is not desirable to have all three processes. But you have to be exceptionally discerning, do you not? Because how often, and I speak to all of you who listen this day or later, how often have you thought something and felt that you knew it to be true? Thinking, not knowing, but I know this is true, but it is a thinking process. It is a mental process. It is not a heart process. And then you have discovered, well, no, that is not true at all. The thing about thinking, which is wonderful, by the way, is that it is an ongoing, interactive, expandable, collapsible process. So it is continual. It drives you. It fuels you in some ways. But what you think today is not what you thought yesterday, and certainly is not what you will think tomorrow. And what you think of as knowing as changeable as your process of discovery and unfoldment continues. So, of course, thinking you do not wish to eliminate it, but it is very ego-driven and mental-body-driven. And so there is great potential for the thinking part of you to be out of balance. Now, we have talked about this, both ends of the fulcrum and coming to the center where truth lies. Believing, while you think that you are more into the realm of heart, and you are drifting in that direction, but again, belief is a combination. It encompasses some aspect of thinking, but it is also based on what your emotional body wishes to be true. So, for example, and this can work in both very positive and very deleterious ways. You grow up and your parents tell you from the time you are born that you are ugly and have three heads. And you grow up believing that. You grow up in a religious belief system that tells you you are a sinner, that you are spoiled, that you are stained, that you have need to earn love. And of course, your emotional drive, the way in which your very DNA is constructed, your consciousness, your super consciousness, is you yearn for for love. You yearn for the divine qualities. So you yearn for beauty. And you think, not only am I not loved and lovable, not only am I not worthy, but I am ugly and have three heads. Whereas it can go the other way, where you are fed belief systems and emotionally you integrate them, that you are better than, that you are more handsome, more privileged, more talented. And this leads to a sense of entitlement and a lack of compassion and a lack of understanding that each thing, each being has its place in the mother's plan. And then you grow, and your heart grows, and you come to understand, well, that is not truth either. Yes, I am wonderful. I am whole. I am unique. I am a divine expression of beauty. But I am not more or less than any other being, because they are the infinite mirror of my existence. So that is belief. It is not knowing.
Thanks so much.
And then you go to your heart. And when you go to your heart for guidance and direction from the knowing, you never go astray or awry. Even if you shift back into your thinking and saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that, the knowing directs you how you need to move in accordance with who you are. The knowing is the bedrock that doesn't change. Now, does it expand? Yes. And you are all experiencing that. And it is marvelous to witness. But it doesn't change. It is immutable. Do you understand how I explain this?
Well, you explained it beautifully, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And I cut you off a little bit back there. I apologize. Would you be open to some callers?
Yes, I am.
Well, they've all lined up at the last minute. So, folks, we have 15 minutes left to the show. I'm going to bring you on, and if I could ask you to be concise with your questions and comments, that would be really great. We'll try to fit everyone on. So, Ruth of Michigan, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment today?
Thank you, Grand Linda, Grandfather. Earlier in the show, Linda spoke of a boulder of grief in some of us. It's a nameless, huge kind of grief. It's very heavy. I would like to move forward without it. I'm sure it's been here all my life. I'm sure it's part of being here for me.
It is part of being in your form, but it is also the grief at what has transpired on the illusion, the hatred that has been experienced on Gaia. Now I am strong, and I ask for all of you in this moment with Archangels Michael and Raphael and myself that we lift this boulder that crushes your very soul off of you, off of your heart and your lungs. Let us first shrink it to a pebble and lift it off. Give it to me, my daughter.
Blessings to you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For your call.
Of course. Bless you. Thank you.
Cherise Vancouver of British Columbia, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just wanted to say that when Buddha said the words respect as reverence for all of life, all existence, to my sacred self, I felt the it reflected the magic that's come alive in me.
Mm-hmm.
From totally utterly betraying who I am, conceding to God, Bible, the church, and utterly betraying myself as a girl in a boy's body. And now she's alive, and she's awake. 48 and a half years, I was in a deep sleep. And I read a book, How to Communicate to Someone in a Coma, and that became part of my awakening, along with everything else. It's like my inner child is walking with the Buddha. And she has a Buddha kind of joke as well. I never know who's going to show up from one moment to the next. So I don't have an eye. It's all
like
of me, and it's part of the mystery and the surprise.
Well, it sounds like you're on a journey of discovery and freedom and joy. That's wonderful.
Oh, totally, totally. My inner child is thriving in the fifth dimension, and I meet her in the fourth dimension, and I'm connected with the third dimension, and the love of my life passed on. Her funeral was 5.5 months ago, and I'm one with her. Hi, Dee Dee. Like I'm not separated. We're all together. It's like I'm in heaven.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Do you have a question or a specific question you like to pose, or are you just feeling like you'd like to share that
Well, Buddha, what did you think of my joke of discovering I don't have an eye anymore? Like I never know who's going to show up from one moment to the next.
But you do have an eye, and it is a sacred eye. And yes, you make room for visitors, for friends, for the unity of one. But you, sweet angel, are also part of that one. Do not forget the importance of your sacred self within the community. Go in peace.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cherise. Thanks so much. Thanks for your call. Maria from Oregon, welcome. What's your question or comment today?
Yes, thank you. It's mundane. It may seem mundane, but for me it includes everything. I know all is life, but my cats are being tormented by fleas. And they're life too, but I can't let them hurt my cats. And to use natural means or any other means, it's still killing. How do you handle that? I try to talk to whatever beings are in charge of those critters. I can handle spiders and ants and all of that, but you know, so that's my question. Ants or fleas and ticks.
Yeah, great question.
It is not mundane at all, Maria, because this is a balance question. And yes, you have asked them, and you continue to ask them, in their choice, in their pathway, to leave and not harm. You see, this is the agreement. This is the agreement of wisdom, of compassion, and of love. You do no harm. So not only do you ask them to leave, you assist them to leave. They are exercising their right. So wash the cats, allow the fleas to march out into the wild blue yonder of grass, and let it be. I will take care of them. St. Francis will take care of them.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What we can anticipate is, well, will happen, and what is happening within the animal kingdom, where you spoke to do no harm, and what we have been experiencing in the old third are animals going after other animals for their own sustenance. So what happens with all that?
You are thinking that there is not a cycle of life and of balance. And the role that you play is in many ways of being the observer. Now, there is a big difference between an animal who hunts because their habitat, their food source, and their ability to feed themselves has disappeared, and those who have come to have the experience of being a carnivore. You see, what you are doing is you are moving into judgment of those animal kingdoms. There are many who would say, and I use this wonderful example of the fleas and ticks and cats. Now, in the old way, there are many who would say, but grandfather, is it not true that this is karmic, that the cat is suffering because it has done harm in other existences and lives? This is a belief in suffering. Just as if you see a carnivore or a hunt where the animal is suffering, because in the truth of the balance, the animal spirit is outside the body before the harm and the death takes place. So you are living in an illusion of judgment. And that judgment includes the belief in suffering. You are in a dimension where that concept and that reality is no longer so.
Is the animal
kingdom? So take it, and please, in wisdom, apply it to yourself. You do not need to suffer fleas or bed bugs. You do not need to feel hunted by bill collectors and financial lack. Let it go. It is the same as Ruth's boulder on her chest. Please give it to us. This we can help you with so that you can move to the wisdom and truth of who you are. Such beliefs in suffering eliminates forgiveness, compassion. Yes, there are those who have chosen, but there are very few who have chosen disease or irregularities to teach compassion. And you have need to honor, as we have spoken of, that pathway. But do not think or believe that that suffering is a necessary part of this journey, of this step on your bridge.
I really like where you took that. I was seeking clarity about the animal kingdom, animal kingdoms in higher dimensions. Do animals need other animals to survive in higher dimensions?
Not necessarily, no.
Will we be experiencing that in Gaia, in the fifth dimension, once we're all fully anchored there? I mean, what's going on with the lion and the lamb?
They are lying together. They have been lying together in wait for you to join them, just like the ant and the beetle.
We have just a few minutes, a couple of minutes really, before the end of the show. What would you like to say in closing? And thank you so much for joining us today.
You know that it is my honor to be here. How do I choose to close? Never. I continue on with each of you. And just as I have before, come and sit with me under the Bodhi tree. Let us explore wisdom. Let us look at the truth and the wisdom of who you are. Let us forget limitation. We will honor its passing. We will bless it for what it has taught. And then we will burn it and send the ashes back to the sea. I am with you. I am with you, my children. I honor you with the deepest reverence. Farewell.
Farewell. Thank you so much.
God.